everyone. My name is Emily Escorcia. I'm your host, and you guys are tuned in to Talk About It. Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning back in. As always, I'm your host, Emmy the Writer, and this week we are talking about heartbreak. I know that you guys have been patiently waiting for this episode, and I am so grateful for your patience. I am very happy to announce that I got promoted at my job, and I also took a little vacation with my partner. So it was some much needed time off to kind of focus on the big events happening in the moment. But I am back on schedule and so excited to talk to you guys today and every week moving forward. So let's dive right in. Heartbreak. What does it look like, feel like, and for the love of God, Emily, how do we fix it?
First off, let's start as usual with a simple definition, and that is that heartbreak is ultimately very similar to grief. It is a devastating loss, but more specifically, it's a devastating emotional loss because they may not be gone, like passed away. They're just gone out of your life. And so that type of loss does come with grief, just like the loss of a loved one when they die or when they move. But when it's a relationship, it's very personal. And so a lot of times you feel like maybe you can't talk to everyone about it, or they don't understand because what happened behind closed doors with your relationship was not what everybody saw. That's perfectly fine, but you do also have to understand that everything that comes with heartbreak is from the root of love. And either you love that person a lot, or that person loved you a lot and the breakup was really hard, or it was best to break up because it was detrimental to you. Whatever the case was, that type of love, whether it be for self or for other, is the root of where heartbreak stems from and why it hurts to begin with. Just like in the grief episode, I talk about the idea of having so much love for someone and not knowing where to put it since they're not in your life anymore. The importance of moving forward from heartbreak or grief in any case is to put that love back into yourself and also to the people who genuinely care about you and seem to be showing you signs of affection and support in the moment that you needed the most, especially during this time of heartbreak. Now, the physical feeling, that's a little wild, and psychologists have studied this for a very long time. Neuroscientists even have actually scan the brain when moments of grief or heartbreak do happen in multiple studies. And what they say is that it literally lights up like if you were in pain. And the term lights up is when you're in either a CT scan, MRI, or some sort of brain scan, and the actual neurons start firing in your brain, then that lights up the machine or the scan in different colors, and you'll see the activity literally in your brain waves. And so that happens in certain areas of your brain when you literally hurt yourself. If you hit your hand against something, your brain will automatically start lighting up in certain areas because you're experiencing pain. Well, the crazy thing about heartbreak and grief is that your brain lights up the exact same way. And so it is analyzing your emotional state and your physical sensation that's responding to it as pain. And so it's very much real that the pain that you're feeling is not just because of your emotions, it's because your body is literally reacting to the emotional state that you're in, which is pretty sad. Now, just like pain, there are treatments for said pain. And just like any other form of grief or sadness, a lot of that comes with trying to reframe your mentality into thinking, what can I do to give back to myself? And how can I rewire my brain to make these memories not so painful? The body and the mind also goes through a period of withdrawal, just like a drug addiction. The person you were with was some sort of a drug addiction because of the quartet of endorphins. There is serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, and endorphins just in general that come out in your brain when you're extremely happy. And when you're in a happy relationship or in love, those same feelings and those same drugs start to accumulate in your system. And so just like a drug withdrawal, you do get a certain type of high from being in love or happy. And just like any other drug withdrawal, you come down when you don't have that drug anymore. And when you are going through a breakup, you have that moment of withdrawal where you want to reach out and get that drug. And what does that mean? I'm going to call them in the middle of the night. I'm going to send a bunch of text messages. I'm going to stalk their social media. And that is a big, big no-no. The main problem with giving into these withdrawal tendencies is not only pretty obvious in the drug community, it's very obvious in the heartbreak community too, because it's just the same. You are doing more damage to yourself by trying to go back to the same damaging relationship that you were experiencing, whether it's because you broke up for the betterment of yourself and you know that it's a detrimental relationship that you should not go back to, or if you're choosing to break up because it just wasn't working or you guys don't feel the same way anymore, that means that it is time to close that chapter. Yes, there are always relationships that have that back and forth and can, you know, come to some sort of agreement when they've been in a big fight, but a breakup is a breakup. And the first step is acceptance in order to move forward and heal. Now, just like any kind of traumatic event that happens in your life or grief episode that happens in your life, there are triggers that come up that you are only going to know on a personal level. What are the songs that trigger you? What are the shows that trigger you? What are the experiences in your everyday life that trigger you to make you remember that person or have you dwelling and kind of staying in that dark spot where you're focusing on the fact that they're gone and you're just focusing on those sad feelings? What are those triggers? And more specifically, how can we not avoid them, because you can't avoid them, but how can we work around them? And so when it comes to the social media stalking and the texting and all of that, I'm going to be very straight up with you. Block, delete, take a break, do whatever you need to on social media, because the avenues are there to mute them, delete them, block them, take a break from Facebook, whatever necessary, because the more you see that person, the more you're just going to want to reach out. No matter how good of a breakup it was, it's just tempting. And it's unnecessary temptation, especially when you're trying to heal and move forward from that chapter. If you're not the type of person who wants to block people, but definitely, definitely delete them, man. Like, you need to not see their name on your phone. You can't be looking at those pictures. You can't be hearing the songs that you guys used to dance to. None of that. Because although it's important to sit in your sorrow and feel your emotions, you cannot torture yourself and force yourself into those sad feelings just because you are in a breakup. It just doesn't work that way. That's not how you heal. Forcing yourself to be sad is not how you heal. Actually sitting and dealing with your emotions as they come on their own naturally, that is how we can heal. We need to frame our mind to realize, what do I need in this moment? Not just, what do I want? What do I want? Yeah, I want to call that person. I want to text them. I want to hook up with them. All these different things. No, you need to focus on what you as an individual needs to move forward and heal. Now let's talk about what healing looks like. What do I do now, Emily? Okay, I can't text them. Okay, I can't talk to them. Okay, I can't sit in my bed and just cry my eyes for 5 days straight is what you're telling me, basically. So what can I do? All right, well, first step is just don't suppress your feelings. If you're the type of person who's the opposite, who's not trying to force themselves to be sad, quite literally trying to force themselves to feel nothing, you're going to have a harder time, because the more you try and shut your pain down, it's just going to keep coming back. It's like a broken record. It doesn't know how to stop until you make it stop. And you can only make it stop by healing the wound, not covering it and pretending it's not there. And so on top of that, you also have to understand your past with the relationship and how your feelings have kind of developed throughout the relationship. Were you always happy? Were there bad moments? Did you have a good breakup? Did you need to have, you know, a kind of analysis of why you broke up? Or maybe not. Maybe you're the type of person like me. I don't need too much closure. I just need the definitive, like, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And so for me, it's a lot of understanding the fact that there are other great people in the world. I'm a great person. And not being with this person doesn't make me less great. It also doesn't make that person less great. It also doesn't make them more or less happy. It doesn't make me more or less happy to be with a person. That's another thing to remember, is that your happiness is fully, fully internal. Nobody else is responsible to make you happy. No one person is going to make me, Emily, happy. I'm in a very happy, committed relationship. But even then, if he decides to leave tomorrow, I still can and will be happy. Will I be sad that he's gone? Of course, that's the love of my life. But at the end of the day, I know that I can survive. And every one of you is going to survive this heartbreak. Yes, there are moments, of course, especially in elderly couples, where heartbreak can kill you. But for the most part, if you can focus on what you need as an individual and your self-care in these moments, you can heal. You can move forward. With that comes a self-care and self-compassion action plan. Like, yeah, self-care is not really supposed to be planned, but kind of. You kind of want to know what you want to do. So I have all this free time. I don't have this person in my life anymore. I can kind of do whatever the heck I want now. What does that mean as far as self-care and self-love and self-compassion? Do I need to go to therapy? Do I need to schedule facials? Do I need to spend more time with my friends? Do I need to spend more time with my family? All of these different things that are going to be steps in the right direction to help you heal and put love back into yourself, that is your action plan. Does it have to be concrete? No. Does it have to be fully detailed? No, of course not. But you do have to know that, I don't know, maybe every Saturday I'm going to ride my bike on the Key Biscayne Bridge or something. That's something that you might choose to do as an individual new tradition or new memory that you want to make for yourself, and possibly replacing a time frame where you would have been with that person and it would have been difficult to be sitting at home alone and focus on your sad feelings. That same mentality we're going to apply to self-compassion. What that means is that your self-talk and what you say to yourself in your mind when you're having a hard time, especially if that other person in your life was very motivating for you, you need to be that self-motivator now. And you need to be turning around and telling yourself in the mirror, you can do this. You're a phenomenal person. You're beautiful inside and out. This breakup is not going to hinder your personality or your situation in the long run. Yes, right now might be difficult, but you're going to be fine. And you are amazing. And you are not less amazing because this person is not here with you anymore. Along with that comes self-acceptance, all the selves, basically. Self-acceptance, just like in Radical Acceptance, the episode that we talked about earlier, self-acceptance is not, oh, I'm amazing, oh, I'm perfect, oh, I can do no wrong. No, it's the reality of accepting, I'm human, I make mistakes, that person made mistakes, I'm going through a hard time, but I'm also perfectly capable of moving forward, perfectly capable of healing, perfectly capable of having another relationship in the future. Do I need to focus on that right now? No. Do I need to accept the fact that life goes on? Yeah. And so that type of acceptance, self-acceptance, radical acceptance, both internal and external, is going to allow you to take the real first few steps in saying, okay, all right, it's over. All right, it sucks. Fuck. Okay, rip off the Band-Aid. Now what? That is how we can move forward. The more you stick yourself into those memories, the more you force yourself into those sad feelings, the more you force yourself to look at their pictures, text them, call them, all of the above, that's going to be detrimental. That's going to stunt your healing. Not anything else that you think like, oh, if I drink a little bit, or if I don't know, sleep with someone new, or if I go on a date, none of that is going to be exactly detrimental. It might not be the best idea to rush into, but it's certainly something that's not going to make or break your healing. What is going to make and break your healing is your self-love. You need to choose yourself, respect yourself. That respect for yourself that needs to come with not texting the person who said that they don't want to be with you anymore. Hello, wake up call. If I could slap you through the microphone, I would. The person doesn't want to be with you. Why are you texting them? Why are you blowing them up? Why are you looking at their pictures? If it's someone who was toxic, yes, you love them. So what? You can love another person. You can love yourself. You can love again. I love my mama. Love can be moved around. And at the same time, if they were toxic, that love was bullshit. Be honest with yourself. Did they love you the way that you deserve? Did they love you the way that you needed? And if they didn't, why the fuck are you still thinking about them? You're so much better than that. Let's get out of the fucking bed. Get out. Comb your hair. Brush your teeth. We're going to go have lunch. Whatever necessary. And if you need to do that for yourself, Yeah, I've had lunch by myself because I forced myself out of the house after like 4 days of being locked up and miserable. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes you have to do that. Go to the beach, sit at a park, walk the dog, do whatever necessary, but get out of the house and stop willowing and just staying in your misery. Misery loves company. Don't be dragging yourself into it. It is something that has happened to you. It is a very sad moment, but it is not the end of the world. It is not the end of your life. And it is certainly not the most important thing that's ever going to happen to you. Please. Oh, fucking please. Breakups happen all the time. Even with people who you think you will never, ever, ever lose in your life. It happens. Move forward. It's okay. It's also okay not to be okay. Remember that, yes, I'm doing all the tough guy stuff, but if you do really need a minute to just cry it out, but give yourself the 5 minutes to cry and keep it moving. Don't sit there crying all day. Allow yourself to have your moment with your feelings, but then keep it moving. Healing from heartbreak or grief or any kind of pain like this, there's really no end date in sight. And there's no timeline. There's no specific, oh, half the relationship, 3 months this, oh, however long it took you to fall in love. No, fuck that, okay? Fuck that shit, all of it. It's literally just however long it takes you personally to accept that you need to move on. Gain those healthy coping mechanisms. Apply those healthy coping mechanisms. Move forward with a support system, either internal or external. And slowly but surely, take the baby steps necessary to heal. It is a process and it's a matter of practice. It is not an overnight, just I can put on a little Band-Aid and it's gonna heal it and I'm gonna be fine. No. Also, sleeping with a bunch of people doesn't automatically heal your grief for your heartbreak. No, that's not a rule either. Stop it. It is all internal. It is internal work, self-work. All of it. Don't be surprised when I say that your heartbreak and your healing from your heartbreak is dependent on you. It's not dependent on the person who broke up with you or you broke up with. It depends on you. Another really important thing to remember when it comes to grieving the loss of someone you love is having that support system. If you have any or some people who truly care about you, reach out to them. Go for lunch. Go for a park date. Or even just talk to them and say, hey, I'm having a hard time, but I'd like to just talk to you about, I don't know, what show you're watching. Something random, and start to connect with people to kind of replace the time. Like I said earlier about your Saturdays, if you choose to do them differently, maybe you can choose to do them with a friend if you don't like doing things alone. Don't be afraid of connecting with other people just because you got out of a relationship. It's okay to go on a date or find a friend or randomly text someone that you haven't hung out with in a while. It is okay to try and find reconnection in your life when you've lost someone, but don't rush into a relationship. I don't encourage that at all. Everybody needs time to heal, whether the relationship ended for a good reason or a bad reason. There always needs to be some sort of wrap up after the relationship that says, okay, let me come back to who I was before this, and hopefully it's not too, you know, removed from who you genuinely are, because you should be genuine in your relationships. But you do have a little bit of adjustment to come back to after a relationship, and you should never rush into the life of someone else, because you should recuperate in your own feelings, your thought process, and everything going on, because it's a lot. It's a lot to handle. You basically took a class. If you ever watch How I Met Your Mother, there's a there's a joke that they basically took a Robin 101 class. And it's true. When you're in a relationship, you're basically taking years and years of the same class, learning the same material over and over and over again. And it's that person. And sometimes it can be a little difficult to want to remove those memories, or even being able to remove those memories. And they're part of your life. It's okay, the fact that you fell in love with them or, you know, had a very healthy relationship with them and it didn't work out. It's okay. It happens. And it's important to realize that that love is valid. That relationship is valid. Your experience is valid. All of it. is valid. Even if you were in a toxic relationship and you had a portion of your relationship that was very healthy and loving, that's also valid. The only person who knows those details is you. And if you want to choose to communicate that with someone, that's great. Also helpful in your healing. But if you choose to deal with that on your own, you also have to understand that it's okay to have really strong feelings for someone who isn't there anymore, doesn't reciprocate them, or, you know, just didn't work out. But you need to move forward. It's okay that you had those feelings, but it is not okay to cling on to them. You need to let it go. I know letting go is a lot easier said than done, but for the most part, letting go can be done in several types of ways. One of them is basically replacing those memories and making new traditions, making new activities for yourself, spending your time differently than you would have before, and distracting your brain by replacing it with more memories. Think about it. Your storage gets, you add more pictures to your storage. You're not necessarily erasing all the pictures that were there before, but your storage does get full, and all of a sudden you look at the collage of pictures of memories in your head, and it's not just you and your ex. It's all of a sudden me and my ex and my friends and the vacation I took with my family and the lunch that I had with my sixth grade friend, whatever. All those different experiences, they add happiness into your life in small increments and a sense of normalcy again that you might have been starting to feel a little bit removed from after the breakup, because your normal was around that person for a very long time, probably, if you're feeling this hurt about it. And so it's understandable to have to recreate a new normal and a new set of memories, a new set of activities, a new set of goals. All of it is going to be different, but that's also very exciting to be able to start fresh and make new goals for yourself, new plans for yourself, new events and even friends for yourself. That is exciting. A little nerve-wracking, a little scary for some people if you're high anxiety, but for the most part, it can be something really, really great. Imagine leaving a relationship that you walked away because XYZ reason and going towards something even better. Think about it. You just got out of this relationship. Yeah, okay, maybe the next person sucks too. It's a possibility, but there's also a very high possibility that that next person is amazing. And everything you just learned as a lesson from the relationship that you just got out of, you're going to carry that into the next relationship and hopefully for the better, not for the worse, and experience something completely different. A completely new person to study, a completely new person to do activities with, do memories with. And if you choose not to be in a relationship at all, you want to just spend time with yourself, that relationship is super fulfilling too. I love spending time with myself. I love myself in general. I think I'm great company. And so the more time you spend with yourself, the more quality time you invest into your self-love, then the more you learn to fall in love with yourself. And the next person you introduce into your life, if you choose to do so, they're going to witness nothing but love being paid back into yourself. And so they are going to have to either reciprocate or do even better, or they're just not going to cut out. Now, I also want to talk a little bit, just really briefly, about bringing in our toxic behaviors into new relationships. I know this is not exactly the podcast episode for it, but real brief. I know that a lot of these people that we've broken up with, sometimes it's obviously, like I said, for the better, and they can be really shitty to us or really toxic to us, or they're liars, they cheat on us, they hurt us, God forbid some sort of abuse happened to you, whatever the case may be. That does not guarantee that every single person out in the world is going to be like that, okay? Like, I understand that you went through a really painful situation, and I understand that you may be jaded or scarred moving forward for the next person and be like, fuck everyone, fuck love, fuck, you know, being vulnerable, all my walls are back up, and everybody else can just earn my love. Well, you can continue to do that, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to find love that way. You're not. Not true love. True love comes with vulnerability. True love comes with opening yourself up. And the only way you can open yourself up without feeling intense amounts of pain when somebody lies to you or does something bad to you is by loving yourself. Because the more you love yourself And the more healthy behaviors and healthy coping that you have in your arsenal, the better you are walking around on a regular basis. You're very unlikely to be affected by the actions of other people towards you because you know your truth. You know your capability, your power, your beauty, your strength, all these different things. And when you love yourself enough to have that respect and mirror those actions back to yourself, it doesn't matter that the person next to you doesn't want to reciprocate. You're going to be like, peace out, bye. I don't need your company because I love myself. And if you want to be in my life, you better love me too, bitch. And that's just the truth. So moving forward into your future relationships, I want you to remember that the relationship that you need to focus on the most is the relationship that is present. Do not focus on past relationships just because you've been scarred or hurt in the past. And then you're going to ultimately put that pressure on the new person and they might not be making any kind of mistakes at all. You are automatically going to be in defense mode because of your previous experience. And that's not fair. That is not fair. That is ultimately going to set up the relationship for failure. Then you're going to have another breakup, another heartbreak, and you're going to continue the same circle. You're going to say, fuck love, fuck these people, my walls are back up again, and it's going to happen over and over and over again until you have a healthy relationship with yourself. Now, does that mean that I automatically have to be this super confident and badass bitch? Like, no, you can still have, you know, insecurity issues and your own, you know, moments of negative self-talk. You're human. It's okay. But you have to love and respect yourself. When you love and respect yourself, you can set those boundaries for your relationships to be successful in the future, especially after a really nasty breakup when you've had to deal with all this healing. So just focus on that. If you healed and you did the work and you love yourself, respect yourself, don't automatically go into the next relationship thinking that the person's going to hurt you, thinking that the person's a shitty person, thinking that everything's going to repeat itself because everyone sucks. No, every relationship is different. Every person is different and unique, comes with their own sets of baggage and issues and problems that you have to work through as a partnership. It's not automatically just gonna fail because they're not perfect and they don't love you the way that you need and whatever. Talk through it. And if you don't want to talk through it, you don't want to work it out, just move forward with that too. But don't just put the blame because of your prior experiences. I just want to get that out real quick. Now that I've gone over all of that stuff, I guess I can talk a little bit about my personal experiences with heartbreak. Obviously, you guys all know the general heartbreak of losing my father, blah, blah, blah. But the heartbreak of relationships, I've actually been in quite a few serious relationships and very glad to say that none of them were horribly abusive or toxic or anything like that. But I did have a few that were really painful after we broke up, and even a recent one where we had a big fight and got back together, whatever. Those moments that you feel like, fuck, like I'm never gonna be able to love someone again, or I don't wanna love somebody again, it's totally normal to feel that, you know? And it's a lie. Most of the time, it's a lie you tell yourself. But it's normal to have those thoughts and just tell yourself, that's not true. Yeah, you're feeling that right now. That's okay that you feel that right now, but it's not the truth. You're gonna love again. And you love yourself, bitch. Like, come on. Let's do this. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of that. And I know that's like, it's hard to do that to yourself when you're in a lot of pain and you're going through it. But you do have to do that to yourself and tell yourself, you're gonna be fine. On top of that, when it's like long-term relationships or someone that you've known for a really, really long time, and maybe you even want to maintain a friendship, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's really hard. It's really hard to try and be friends after you have like a major breakup and stuff like that, because especially like immediately after, maybe years down the road is a possibility, but like immediately after, you need to give yourself that time to recuperate. And I don't want to say hate that person, because you don't have to hate that person, but you gotta be a little mad at them in your head for a minute and just be like, don't talk to me. And so giving yourself that moment of don't talk to me allows for you to come back in tune with yourself. That's really the ultimate goal, coming back in tune with what I need, loving or healing or any of the above. What do I, Emily, or you, listener, need? Not just what I want, what I feel. Yes, I feel shitty. Yes, I'm sad. Yes, okay. So you've been sad before. You'll be sad again and you'll be fine every time. But what do you need? You need a glass of water? You need to go for a walk? You need to take an antidepressant? What do you need to do? Do it. But stop just feeling sorry for yourself. That's never beneficial or helpful in any way, shape, or form at all. You're not the only person who's gone through a hard time. And this is not the only hard time that you have gone through as an individual. We're all going to be okay. Heartbreak is just a temporary thing that has to happen. And yeah, it's one of those shitty things in life where it's like, fuck, do we have to experience that? Do we have to go through that? You don't have to, but it's kind of a lonely life if you don't ever choose love. And choosing love is a lot more fruitful than just choosing to avoid heartbreak. Avoiding heartbreak is inevitable because heartbreak comes even when people die, like I said in the beginning. So you have to understand what your coping mechanisms are because these traumatic experiences happen throughout our life multiple times. And if you are unfortunate like me that you have had quite a few failed relationships, you go through heartbreak quite a few times. And I'm here, I'm standing, I'm in love, and it's okay. And I love myself as much as I did from the first heartbreak today. So that's the most important thing to remember for you guys. We will talk next week. I have an interview lined up for fitness, for finances, for all kinds of fun stuff. So I cannot wait for you guys to give me some more feedback and let me know what you guys are thinking. I love to hear from you guys. Honestly, doing the podcast, motivating you guys, doing the daily pep talks, all that shit, it's all for fun, but I love it because it's just a nice start to my day or end to my day, because today I'm recording at the end of the day, but it's just a nice motivator to tell myself and you guys that life goes on. And we're all going to be doing just fine. We can educate ourselves to do things a little bit more smoothly, but life is a bumpy road and we're all going to be okay. I'm here to walk you guys through any lesson that I can, and feel free to reach out via social media. I am at Emmy the Writer on Instagram. The podcast page is Talk About It with Emmy. I'm on Twitter. I'm on TikTok. Yes, the TikTok bug bit me. But more importantly, I'd love for you guys to subscribe to the podcast, check us out every single week, and check out the website, emmythewriter.com. Share it with your friends, leave a review, all of the above. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys keep me going every single week, and I cannot wait to talk to you again. Peace out.